Luke chapter 10 this morning for our scripture reading. Luke chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 33 through verse 35 this morning for our scripture reading. Luke chapter 10, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. When you found Luke chapter 10, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning. Luke chapter 10, verses 33 through 35. I'll read verses 33 and 35 if you'll join with me on verse 34 for the reading of God's word. It says in Luke chapter 10, starting verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he had departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reading of God's word this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to hear from our preacher. Lord, I pray you bless him. Lord, thank you so much for the stand he takes, Lord, his conviction, his stand on God's word, Lord, and just having things right in the service. Lord, I pray you bless this song, Lord, to prepare our hearts for the message. Be with us today. Lord, I pray you just take care of us, watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As the sun rose that morning on the day of Job's trial, he rose up to serve God as any other day. Bound and determined to live in God's favor, and nothing would stand in his way. Then the messengers came one by one with their stories. In just a few moments, Job lost all he had. Great wealth and great riches, the health of his body, and even his children were dead. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job's wife came before him to voice her opinion. She said, "You should end it, just curse God and die." Job rose from the ashes and looked toward the heavens and brushed back the tears in his eyes. He said, "The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When troubles come silently, blessed be the name. When the storm winds blow violently, blessed be the name. When Satan comes oppressing me, blessed be the name. I'll still serve God faithfully, blessed be the name. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Amen. Wonderful, Brother Tony. Thank you for a great song and well sung. I want you to look at verse number 33. In Luke chapter 10, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." And that's what I want to speak on this morning. I want to speak on the subject of compassion. You see the word there in verse 33, compassion. Let's pray together and ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, what a great song our hearts we just heard, and our hearts enjoyed and felt the message of that song. Easy to say amen to it, harder to live it. Lord, help us to bless your name at all times. And thank you for the example of the good brother Job in the book. Now help me today, be a blessing to the people. Would you please speak to our hearts? Grateful for the opportunity once again to preach your word. I hope, Lord, that you'll bless it to your people in Jesus' name. And amen. In the work of the ministry, the opportunity comes around every once in a while to be in the company of older men, well-experienced and versed in ministry. And when you're in the company of those type men, it's amazing how they just spill over with knowledge and with wisdom and experience. It's like they speak from the overflow. It's just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity when God gives it to you. Some men are more reclusive in personality than others, kind of like Elijah was in the Old Testament. He didn't enjoy being around people. He was reclusive. Some are more like Elisha. They're more people-oriented. They enjoy being around folks. When I've had the opportunity to be around older preachers who are people, who enjoy talking and enjoy visiting, it's amazing what you learn. I'm talking about men like Brother Bobby Robertson. We sat at the lunch table in Indiana with Brother Bobby and Doug Castle, and the tears flowed down his cheeks as he talked about his call to preach and just talked about God. And he's coming in October, pastored the same church 50-something years, and he'll be with us. Just our church, not especially just our service, two nights, Monday and Tuesday in October. I am so excited about him coming here to our church. Brother Jim Binyard, Brother Bob Smith. I had known Brother Mickey Carter prior to the conference, but had never had the opportunity just to sit and visit with him. But my goodness, the overflow. We talked for about an hour at lunch on Thursday. Everybody else was gone, I think. We just sat and talked. And Brother Don Green, who was here on Wednesday night, maybe you heard him. So when they tell a story or they relate some experience, you know, they're telling the story, they're telling the experience, and along the way, you not only learn about that story or that experience, but you learn a whole lot more as well. It's overflow. It just, they don't even mean to teach it, and they teach it. And you can learn from that overflow. Without a doubt, the one man who had more of that overflow than anyone else who ever lived was the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, that's what happens here in this story. Jesus tells a parable, a story in response to a lawyer's question in verse number 29. But the lawyer, you see it there, verse 29, the lawyer willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And so Jesus tells the story to answer the man's question about who his neighbor is. But along the way, in his story, out of the overflow, if you will, we are privileged to learn something that Jesus teaches about the subject of compassion. You see it in verse 33. Jesus said very specifically about this Samaritan, he, pardon me, had compassion on him. He, the Samaritan, had compassion on him. This is the story of the man who took a trip from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was just beaten up by thieves and left for dead on the side of the road, and they robbed him and beat him, and he was left there. And the Bible says that this man, the Samaritan, had compassion on this man. Webster defines compassion as, quote, a suffering with another. Compassion is a mixed passion, compounded of love and sorrow. It does involve the emotion, but people, while it is a very strong emotion, true compassion always reveals itself in tangible ways. It results in action. Sometimes we see somebody weep and we think they're compassionate. It might be they got too close to a cut onion. It has nothing to do with compassion. It might be that they feel sympathy, but it has nothing to do with compassion. Compassion is an emotion. But more than that, it reveals itself in tangible ways. It results in action. And the Bible teaches us that there is a reaction to true compassion. Because the Bible says in Jude, verse number 22, and of some have compassion. Now listen to this, making a difference. There is the action of compassion. And the reaction was it made a difference in a person's life. Now no doubt, the action of compassion by this Samaritan caused a reaction in the life of the beaten man. It made a difference in his life. It helped him. The Samaritan had compassion, and the beaten, wounded man was the beneficiary. It wasn't just tears that came down the cheeks. In fact, we don't even know if this man wept. There's no emotion ever expressed in this story. But brother, there was compassion here because Jesus said there was. And there was reaction to that compassion. There was benefit to the man upon whom the Samaritan had compassion. Now, there are several different differences that you can make in a person's life through compassion. But obviously, the best and the greatest difference you can make in someone's life when it comes to compassion is the matter of salvation. The matter of salvation. And by the way, isn't that where it all isn't that the ultimate goal of all of our compassion should be the salvation of lost souls, the benefit of God's people? You know, a lot of churches today practice, they preach and they practice a social gospel, meeting the material needs of man and stopping right there. There's nothing wrong with meeting the material needs of man if your plans include going further and helping them with their spiritual needs. But a lot of churches just stop with what's called the social gospel, meeting the material needs. And you know, there was a lot of people in Jesus' day who had their material needs met. But thank God many of those also had their spiritual need met as well as they followed Jesus Christ, and Jesus had compassion on them. 36 and a half years ago, a man had compassion on me. And there was a corresponding reaction in my life. It made a difference in my life. And I'm having the time of my life right now corresponding with this man who I haven't seen in 32 plus years. And maybe I get a chance to see him this September, who's now in prison. But he's right with God and talks about in his letters how that, you know, God has it where he is so that he could get his attention. Man, he wrote me the last letter I got. I laughed at the ending of the letter. He said, I'm reading The Hunchback of Notre Dame and living in my mind in 15th century Paris. I'm working out three times a week like a teenager. I am working two crossword puzzles a day. I am burning up the book of Psalms and Proverbs, and I sleep like a baby. And then he said, and to think some people feel sorry for me. And I thought to myself, what a blessing this man has found peace with God, even though it's in prison, brother. And I've had the time of my life writing him. He wrote it. He made a difference in my life 30-something years ago because he had compassion on me. And I will say this, if God ever uses you and me to make a difference in somebody else's life, there will have to be an act of compassion on our part that causes a corresponding reaction in their life that makes a difference. This is what I'm talking about. By the way, I don't know about you, but brother, when I die, when I go to heaven, I'd sure like to know that God used me to make a difference in at least one person's life. And I'm talking about salvation now. I'm not talking about material needs. I'm talking about salvation. Okay? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So all this social gospel stuff, you know, hey, it takes care of the material, but if it doesn't somehow give that person the opportunity to find Jesus Christ as its Savior, man, you're missing the main point on that thing. I like the old song. I used to hear it years ago. I don't hear anybody sing it much anymore. I am thinking today of that beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down. When through wonderful grace by my Savior I stand, will there be any stars in my crown? Second verse, oh, what joy it will be when his face I behold, living gems at his feet to lay down. It would sweeten my bliss in the city of gold should there be any stars in my crown. And then the songwriter wrote the chorus, will there be any stars in my crown when at evening the sun goeth down? When I wake with the blessed in those mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Talking about salvation. He's talking about souls won. That's what he's talking about. The winning of souls there. And the brother, I hope God uses me to make a difference in somebody's life. And if he does, it'll be because of compassion. And I want to help some people this morning because I think there's some, you know, strange ideas about what compassion is. Again, some people think that it's weeping. And you think, well, I'm not a man given to tears. I'm not a person given to strong emotion. So I guess I'll never have compassion. We don't read anything about emotion in this passage. But yet Jesus said this man had compassion on him. So let's see what happens here. What are the earmarks of true compassion? Well, I see, first of all, in verse number 33, I see interruption. I see interruption in verse 33. The Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, here it is now, as he journeyed. As he journeyed. This Samaritan had a life. This Samaritan had something to do. This Samaritan had somewhere to go. He was on a journey. And people, it is probably safe to assume that his journey was centered around his life. He was going somewhere for himself. He had something to do that concerned him. Watch it. Then his journey that he was taking for himself got interrupted. It got interrupted. Excuse me. By the way, there are two other men who were on a similar journey for themselves, and they both saw the same beaten and wounded man, and the Bible says that they went on their way. There was no interruption. They went on uninterrupted. There was no interruption. True compassion involves interruption. Interruption of our busy life, of our busy schedule, of our plans, of our itinerary, of our agenda. If I'm going to have compassion on somebody, that thing has to be interrupted every now and again. Let me ask you a question. Have we ever put our plans on hold? Have we ever hit the pause button of our life, interrupted to help somebody else? Now, I'm not saying somebody, there's no bawling going on here. He put his plans on hold. He put his journey on pause. Whoa, time out. He stopped in the middle of his life. Now, friend, listen very carefully. We can all have a kind of sympathy on someone and yet never experience any kind of interruption. Sympathy is not compassion. Sympathy never makes a difference, but compassion does. Compassion makes a difference. And Jesus said, this man had compassion on him. And one of the earmarks of that compassion is that he interrupted his busy life to help this man. I'm going to tell you three things. I'm going to tell you two stories and we're done. So he interruption, number one. Number two, look at it in verse number 34 and 35. I see inconvenience. I see inconvenience. Look at verse 34 and 35. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he had departed, took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. When you look carefully at these verses, you see two ways in which the Samaritan was inconvenienced. It cost him. It's one of the reasons why a lot of folks never have compassion on people. You cannot have compassion on people without it costing you these two things. Number one, it cost him time. It cost him time. He had to put his life on hold. Time that was supposed to be invested in his own life for himself, for his journey, that time was invested instead in the life of a poor, wounded man. And by the way, isn't time precious to us? It seems like we never have enough time. Having time to do what we need to do or what we like to do is very important to us. And then to take that time and invest it for someone else. You know what that is, folks? That's compassion. That is compassion. In fact, I got a little trouble this morning again with this drainage, so you bear with me. The answer we most often use when confronted with an opportunity to show compassion on somebody is this. I don't have time. I don't have time. Folks, who does have time? You have to make it. It's inconvenience. There's no way to help somebody, to have compassion on people, without it inconveniencing you and me in the area of time. I think sometimes a better response could be, I don't want to take the time. We've all heard the stories. We've all read the stories. People being beaten, ladies being accosted on a street corner, purses being taken, so forth and so on, people hearing gunshots outside their window and never wanting to take the time to get involved and interrupt their plans and help somebody out. You know, it's not that we don't have the time. It's that we won't take the effort to make the time. I wonder, you know, there are about 10,080 minutes in a 7-day week. 10,080. And I wonder how many of those minutes ever get invested beyond the parameters of me and mine. It'd be a good question to ask ourselves. How many of 10,080 minutes ever get invested beyond the parameters, not within the parameters of me and mine, but beyond the boundaries, beyond the parameters of me and mine? It's going to cost us inconvenience. We're going to be inconvenienced in the way of time if we're going to have true compassion. And then I see a second inconvenience here, and you find it in verse 35. When he took out 2 pence, it's going to cost you time and it's going to cost you money. I can still hear Brother Vineyard saying in Bible college, "Now, boys, if you're going to be a blessing to people, it's going to cost you time or money, and probably both." And you know what? He's dead on. It cost this man time, and it cost this man money. He took money out of his pocket that he probably needed for himself. And he used it to help pay for the man to have a place to stay. So true compassion is earmarked, first of all, by interruption. And true compassion is earmarked, second of all, by inconvenience. Again, we haven't read anything about emotion yet. We haven't read anything about tears. We haven't read anything about him sobbing and tears coming down his face and dripping on the floor. Maybe he was. But nothing about that in the Bible. We have read about the fact that he interrupted his life and he became inconvenienced. And then thirdly, you see involvement. Compassion requires involvement. The whole story in verses 33 through 35. Look at the verbs in these verses. Came, saw, went, bound, pouring, set, brought, took. Those are all verbs. That's action. Those are all action verbs. These are all something that the Samaritan did. Involvement and action. Friend, it is impossible to have true compassion on somebody without being involved. Without it being involved. And you know what involvement takes? It takes being interrupted and it takes inconvenience. So, when I read this story here that Jesus told, I see no emotion in this thing. I'm sure there's some sorrow of heart here. I'm sure when he saw this guy beaten up and left for dead, that he felt moved in his heart to help this man. But he's too busy to cry. It's too much work for him to cry. And yet Jesus said this man had compassion on him. Years ago, I told this story before, I was in Des Moines with Joyce. We'd left the kids with her parents and gone to Des Moines for a couple of days just by ourselves. We were sitting at a restaurant. And one of those buffet Golden Corral type restaurants. We were sitting there eating, and it became apparent we were in kind of a secluded place in the restaurant. And it became apparent that the two girls and the two ladies in the booth behind us, and it became apparent that they were talking as I overheard the conversation. They were not low in their conversation. They were loud. And it became apparent that they were talking about one of those ladies getting an abortion. And I sat there, and a coldness came over me. I became aware this lady's talking about having an abortion, and this one lady is talking to her, trying to keep her from having it, or telling her about it or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And I thought to myself, I should talk to her. I should say something. When am I going to justify, you know, not saying something? Well, I'm here with my wife. And, I don't want to take the time. And Joyce and I are away. And it's ministry all the time at home. All the things that you run through your mind, all the justifications for not getting involved. But that Holy Spirit was saying, man, do something. Say something to this girl. I don't know what would have happened. And I thought, well, I'm going to go back make another trip around the salad bar or something to see what's up there. When I get back, I'm going to talk to them. I'm just going to tell them that I'm an assistant pastor. I'm in the ministry. And I overheard their conversations. Any way I could help, explain anything or talk to somebody, talk with you about it. By the time I got back from the salad bar, the booth was empty. They were gone from the restaurant. That has bothered me until this day. Every now and again, you know, stuff flashes through your mind every now and again. It's amazing things that have taken place in the past and it's filed away in the computer of your mind. And when that button is pushed, it begins to replay and you see it vividly and you hear it vividly. It's almost like you relive the whole thing all over again. And over through these years, that has been replayed in my mind. And every time I experience regret in my heart for not, I I didn't have compassion. I had no interrupted schedule. I didn't inconvenience myself and involve myself in that young lady's life. You say, what would have happened? I have no idea. But I sure wish I'd have tried. You say, well, Brother Angel, you can justify that. That's not necessarily a lack of compassion according to what Jesus said here. That was a lack of compassion. Compassion is not just sitting there feeling badly, having sorrow, sympathy. Compassion is action. Compassion is doing something that makes a difference. Compassion is tangible. I should have been involved years ago. A man in our church was coming home from work. He's here this morning. And he was coming down 102 from work. And saw a fellow on the side of the road. Car broke down, had a flat tire. And the guy was a rough-looking guy. And went past. And the Spirit of God said, help him. So the brother in the church stopped and turned around. Drove back to where he was and said, need some help changing the tire? He said, well, he said, the spare's got no air in it. And he said, well, let's go take care of the tire. And the man said, I don't have any money. He said, jump in. Brought him down in here to town, went over to one of the tire places in town, scrounged around, asked those guys for any kind of an old tire to put on this guy's spare rim and said, please, it's just whatever you did just to get the guy back to town. And spent $10 or $12, whatever. Got the tire back on the rim. Drove back out. Man's in the car. Drove back out. Talked a little bit about the church, I guess. I don't know if they gave him a track or what. And helped the guy get the tire changed. And the guy said to the man in our church, he said, you know, he said, I never thought a man like you would have any time for a man that looks like me. I don't know what the fellow said. But anyway, came on back to town. And some weeks later, a bus worker was knocking doors, looking for new kids to ride the bus. Knocked on that door. Those two little boys rode the church. The two little boys came from that house, rode the church bus. They got saved. Then Mom came and Mom got saved. Came to church here for some time. And then Dad, he came and got saved. And then, shortly after he got saved, he got cancer. And he died a very early death. We had his funeral right in the church. And that man's in heaven today. Now, you know what? Probably the brother in the church never shed a tear. I don't imagine working with that tire. He was going. He might have thinking, boy, I wish I'd never stopped. Amen. I imagine he was crying. He might have ever had any emotion. Just to help the guy. But according to what Jesus taught about this Samaritan, this beaten man, you know what he had? He had compassion. Compassion is not some mystical, spooky feeling. It comes over. You understand, bus worker, every time that you go out on Saturday, that's compassion. You understand, soul winner, every time you knock on the door and hand the gospel tract, that's compassion. You understand, anytime you prepare a lesson, or anytime you make some brownies and take them to your neighbor or down the street or do something for somebody in the neighborhood. You understand? That's compassion. You say, well, I just wish I could have compassion, Pastor, but I don't cry easy and the tears don't come down my cheeks. I don't read anything about tears and emotion in what this man did. But I read where Jesus said this man had compassion on him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had compassion on him? You say, who? Him. It could be any person with whom your path crosses. It could be the man that works across the machine from you and you take a minute to give him a gospel tract. It could be the neighbor that you've been inviting to come to church and you take him a tray of brownies. It could be the somebody anywhere. It could be showing up on a doorstep cold turkey and knocking and trying to invite the boys and girls. Have you had compassion on anybody? I'm talking about true Bible compassion that includes interruption and inconvenience and involvement. Because that's what it takes to have compassion. It's not a feeling. It's not just, there's not just some sorrow of heart. Oh man, I really hate that. And that ends it. It's action. It's action. I'll say this morning. We all know someone who had compassion on us. His role and rule in heaven was interrupted. It wasn't His plan that brought Him to this earth. It was His Father's plan. And Jesus obediently came. And when Jesus came to this earth, interrupting His reign and rule in heaven, He was inconvenienced in so many ways. You and I can't count them. The Bible says He didn't have a place to lay His head. When they buried Him, crucified Him, all He had was the garment on His back. Inconvenienced in so many ways. And Jesus involved Himself by taking our sins in His own body and carrying them to the altar of sacrifice called the cross, where He died and paid the price for our salvation. He had compassion on us. He was interrupted. He was inconvenienced. He involved Himself so that you and I could go to heaven someday. He made a difference. He made a difference. When's the last time you had compassion on somebody? Well, I read an article about some kids, you know, and they had a hair lip thing and they were trying to raise money. I really felt sorry. I had compassion. That's not compassion. I'm sorry, but that's not compassion. Jesus wept over the city and had compassion on it. Then He went to the cross and died. That's compassion. When's the last time you had compassion on somebody? Outside the realm of me and mine, outside the realm of you and yours, when is the last time you branched out, interrupted, inconvenienced, and involved yourself in somebody's life? Hopefully, to make a difference. I want to tell you something, friend. There is no joy and there is no happiness not seeing God use you to make a difference in somebody's life. But it won't happen without Bible compassion. Bible compassion. An interruption, an inconvenience, and an involvement. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Pretty simple what Jesus taught here about compassion. This man had compassion on him. Ask yourself today, let the Spirit of God help you as you search your heart. Have I had compassion on anybody lately? When's the last time I inconvenienced myself, interrupted my schedule, and involved myself in the helping of somebody else? I wonder who's here this morning would say, Pastor, while you were speaking, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Maybe you've been wrapped up in the idea that compassion is all about tears coming down your cheeks. Believe me, friend, I'm not against tears. God's not either. But it's more than just tears coming down our cheeks. It's action. It's involvement. It's interruption. It's inconvenience. Pastor, I've kind of had my thinking kind of messed up on compassion, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I need to lift up my eyes and look beyond the parameters of my life and those that are mine. I'd like to have true Bible compassion on somebody to the place where God helps me make a difference in somebody's life. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning all over the room? God bless you. I see that. Amen, amen, amen. That ought to be your desire, friend. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you so much. Take your hands down. God, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Use me. Somebody else say, I should have raised my hand just then. I need to reach beyond the parameters of me and mine. Have compassion, Bible compassion. Pray for me. Anybody else like that this morning? God bless you. Yes. Amen. Let me ask today this. Who would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know that I would go to heaven. I don't know that Jesus is my Savior. This matter of being saved, born again, I'm not sure, but I don't know about my eternal destiny. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand if you're not sure that you're saved this morning? From side to side, front to back, member or visitor, in the balcony, anybody, boy or girl, teenager, man or woman, I'm not sure that I'm saved. God bless you, young child's hand. Amen. Somebody else, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I pray for you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been saved but not baptized, and you like to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Say, Pastor, I've not been obedient to Christ yet in the matter of baptism. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here this morning? Saved but not yet baptized in obedience to Christ. All right, maybe you've been saved and baptized. You've been visiting here. You know this is the place that God wants you to be a member. During the invitation this morning, you've spoken to myself or Brother Caleb or one of the men about it. You come forward. Or maybe you need to make an appointment with us about that. Now's the time to come when the music starts in just a moment. Our Father in heaven, I'm glad this morning for your word. Please help us to have compassion on people. And Lord, use us to make a difference in somebody's life. Thank you for those that have had compassion on us. Thank you for those whom you've used to make a difference in our life. Now, God, please help us to see the earmarks of compassion, interruption, inconvenience, and involvement. Lord, not so much just the weeping of tears and sorrow of heart, but doing something. Help us to have compassion on people and make a difference in their lives. I pray in Jesus' name. I pray for the young person who's not saved. If they're unsure about that, help them to be saved. Anybody that needs to be baptized or join the church, Lord, meet that need, I pray. Bless those that lifted a hand about this matter of compassion in Jesus' name.